Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time. We are dusting off this podcast. We have that my voice cracked there like a teen boy, but dusting off this podcast with a new co-host. I am so excited. My name is Caroline, and I am so excited for a new co-host. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Mallory. I have been a guest on the pod in the past.
Friend of the pod turned host of the pod.
Yes, which we both jokingly in our text messages have tried to manifest. I mean, I remember being on, a year ago, I think was the last episode, and I was on, and a friend of mine, she's like, you should just do this with her. You should be the co-host. And I was like, great, I'll put that out into the world. And then a couple of weeks back, you said, I want to manifest this. How can we make it
happen? How can we do it?
And here we are.
And look at us just a couple of weeks later. Well, ever since let me try to dispel rumors, which there are no rumors and no one cares. But, there's nothing to dispel, but here I am pretending. I would love for there to be something for me to dispel ever in my life. But Hannah and I, the original co-host of the podcast, if you've been listening for a while, are still best friends. There is absolutely no drama, except when we pretend that there is over this. But when she left the show, I had high hopes that I would be able to continue it. You came on with me a few times and it was so great. I loved it. I had a few co-hosts and then it just kind of like fizzled out, which is absolutely not the way I wanted this to end. I really wanted to keep podcasting because I really feel like what America needs is more white women sharing their views on things.
Oh, and God, absolutely agree.
Yeah. I mean, the value is there. And so I was like, my schedule got crazy as everyone's. And anyway, I was like, enough is enough. I keep thinking of it.
And you know, and to specify, you had a baby. You had a new baby. Oh, sure. It wasn't like it fizzled. You delivered a person from an orifice of your body and then kept her alive. That's so she's true. One.
She is one. Yes. Thank you. Happy one. Birthday, Molly.
Happy birthday, Molly.
Now I will broadcast our lives back on in the nether corners of my playroom. So I don't know. I don't know where this podcast will take us, but let's journey together. I was, after you were like, let's think about it and talk about it. I was like, cool. When do you want to start? Like, we didn't talk about it. We didn't really think about it. And here we are. We have no plans, I don't think. Do you have a plan?
Yeah. I mean, I have plans to, I don't know, we'll have like Kamala Harris on, maybe Oprah.
Oh, good. All very good.
Glenn Doyle situation. We're just going to like monetize this, make $1 zillion, put our children through college. And that's generally the plan, right?
No, I think that sounds great. Okay, my hard to reach is going to be Amy Grant. I do have her personal cell phone number as well as her AOL email address and Venmo. So maybe I can make that happen, but that's like, to me, once we get that, like we can just call it quits. So let's give it a few weeks first.
I feel like we've talked, not on the pod before, that Amy Grant was my first concert in life.
Yes, mine as well. Was it a Christmas one or was it a secular music days? Like, talk me through that.
It was Heart in Motion tour. It absolutely was.
I love that.
Like the two album covers that were so important to me from my youth was obviously Mariah Carey in the black dress and just like the big curly hair.
So yes.
And then Heart in Motion, which was the exact same cover, but a red crushed velvet dress and that huge, huge necklace.
Yes. Yes.
And they were like two sides of a similar coin, I think. Like,
they were, you know, I do feel like in a multiverse, Mariah Carey and Amy Grant are each other. And I'm sure if you rearrange enough letters of their names, like it's almost there.
There's going to be some hint from the universe.
Well, Amy Grant she did just get honored with the Lincoln. I'm going to kill. Is it Kennedy Center honors? Lincoln something honors? Kennedy Center honors?
Yes.
After surviving like a horrific bike accident and heart surgery all of these things. So like a true warrior. It's obviously Christmas time or whatever winter holiday you celebrate or don't celebrate.
Indeed.
So we've been playing a lot of Amy Grant Christmas songs and that really is the sound of the season to me.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. She's a voice. It's like her and Nat King Cole for me are like the Christmas voices. Yeah.
That's a great point. Yeah. And like, I know people are trying to make Michael Bublé happen as a voice of Christmas, but like not yet. His time has not come yet. To me.
If I'm going to have a Canadian singing to me, it's going to be Celine, who also, moment of silence for Celine's.
Yeah.
awful diagnosis, but also how brave to just come out and tell us all about it. But
yes, but in a way that I want to start off this new season by making myself sound as much like an asshole as possible.
Do it.
I was texting Hannah about this morning. And the thing is, it's heartbreaking. Celine was probably the first artist that we listened to growing up that wasn't a contemporary Christian artist. Mm-hmm. So I had like feelings to get over about that with her being secular. But once I did, I love her. You and I did a Celine Dion ride on Peloton for my 100th ride, and it was so good.
Yes. Which your photo in my phone is still the selfies we were texting each other from that ride of us just like sweating and mugging to It's All Coming Back to Celine. Me Now. So I see that every time we text. So
well, and when I teased this last night, I used in my personal Insta story, It's All Coming Back to Me Now, of and course. Put it in the caption. So that all felt fine. But what I was telling Hannah this morning was the problem for me is stiff person syndrome, which sounds horrible, mm-hmm. does need a different name because every time I see it, I laugh, which is not obviously the emotion that needs to be garnered. But I'm like,
yeah, but boners are funny.
It is. And I'm like, what about loose person syndrome? What doesn't get stiff? It's just too much for me.
Yes, exactly.
Again, asshole move.
Right. But, you know, I was with a bunch of moms at like a Christmas thing last night, holiday cookie exchange. And one of them was talking about their, you know, just the daycare and childhood diseases. And like, who named Coxsackie? Like, we're going to get PG-13 in here real fast, I think. But like, you know, and someone's like, well, it's a town in New York State. And I was like, I don't care. It sounds like genitalia. And I do not want a small child having that.
Yes, it does. So,
stiff person syndrome and Coxsackie, we're off to a great start.
I wish that they would have like focus grouped those a little bit more, but
you're in marketing. Like you are uniquely qualified to do some wordsmithing around this awful diagnosis that needs a better name. It does.
Yeah, let's just like rebrand stiff person syndrome, and Celine can be the spokesperson for now.
It can be Celine Dion syndrome. Lou Gehrig's disease is ALS. Yeah. We named it after him. So it'll be Celine Dion disease now.
I think that's great. And that's all that it needs to be. And so rebrand finish. Thank you.
Is it ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease? I'm going to have
it. It is Lou Gehrig's disease. There's also a particular elbow surgery that a lot of baseball players get called Tommy John surgery. He was the first one to do it. His sons went to my middle school. So,
And now they're an underwear company.
Yes, they are. You know what's interesting? I am on video and you are not, which makes me feel self-conscious. You know when you put on an outfit and you feel really great about that outfit and then you see yourself on camera? I am wearing a sweater that I felt like was cozily oversized, and now I'm looking at it and I look like a wide angle lens, and that's okay. It was not anticipating that for my own aesthetic. I do want to dive into some, they're not even hot topics, but let's do some lukewarm topics.
Let's do it.
Have you been watching the Harry and Meghan docuseries?
Absolutely have. I stayed up shockingly late last Thursday to do it. We're recording on Thursday, so the next three episodes, 4, 5, and 6, are out now. And
how
I didn't
many total do we know?
I think they said 6 total, so it's like 2 parts, three each. And I didn't blow you off to watch it, so I think that tells you my thoughts on the last half.
I do want to know because I do understand that talking about Meghan Markle can have racial undertones, and I want to be very clear. That is absolutely not my intention at all. I do not care for her regardless of race, which again, that sounds like, again, a white woman should be saying this about anyone, but I didn't want to watch it because I don't care for her and didn't want to give her views, but I couldn't not watch it. And then I thought maybe my mind will change, but I want to know what you thought of what you've seen so far.
What I thought was, I loved their love story. Like, look at these two beautiful, boring people falling in love on Instagram. Sorry, you just took a sip. Okay. Make you laugh as you do that.
That's perfect.
I just, you know, and my, I don't want to say my history with the royals, like I'm a fucking duchess or something.
I love that. Please flex that. I love that.
I had a friend over this morning and I served us tea on my Kate and William engagement platter that I bought in London when I was there in 2011. Sure. And I have my William and Kate teacup. And I have my, so like, I love Kate Middleton. Mm-hmm. I have the Kate Middleton nail polish that Butter London put out. Like, I, it's weird commitment to just things like that.
I got a cosplay, which I
love. A lot of Kate cosplay. You know, my hair never is fully as full as hers, but I really try.
It's close. It's adjacent. It's Middleton adjacent.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I love her and I kind of support that whole crew. Okay. And then objectively, Harry's hotter. Even though they're both bald now, objectively he's hotter, and like he did.
Has more personality? Question mark?
Yes. Yeah. All this to say, I'm very much like team both. I like them both. I can also appreciate that they are real human beings, but like not really because they're very fancy human beings.
Yeah.
I think my key takeaway thus far from the first three episodes is I think they think they're making a very scathing expose about the parasitic nature of the British tabloid engine.
Okay. 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 Good take. Yep.
And I don't think that's what it is. I think they think it's very, like, that is very important to shed light on and talking about, like, their privacy and their safety and the safety of their children. I think those are all incredibly valid points. But then when they, like, but then there's other complaints that you're like, okay, rich person, shush.
Well, and I think for me, so I've watched two episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, two. While I was making cinnamon rolls, which was a nice thing to have on in the background. Oh, yeah. But so my ultimate takeaway, besides still feeling like she is not very likable, and I will say this and add, David and I just committed to watching the entire series of Suits as fast as we could and finished it last night.
Oh, wow.
And so we have been, we've been very steeped in Meghan Markle acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. For months. And I wanted to, part of it was a case study that he did not know about for us of whether I would like her or not on the show. Cause I'd only seen her on Deal or No Deal and you know, fine. She did a great job.
Wonderful.
Objectively fine. And I really liked her character at the beginning, hated her character near the end, which absolutely ended up being kind of around the time that she's met and started dating Harry.
Right.
Fine. My takeaway, though, is I don't understand what their end game is. And I, in this season of my life, have become very obsessed with what people's end games are and what their goals are. Yeah. They seem very committed to victimhood here. Yes. And I want to know where they go from that. Like, what is this a step toward? Because that's a pretty one note thing.
Yeah.
Right?
It is. And it's interesting because you just saying that, I remembered, you know, when I was in London in 2011 is because I was working for a British based company and my British boss had just, she gave me this advice with regards to work that I have just pulled into every aspect of my life since where she's like, yes, everybody needs to have a little vent session. Everybody like get it off your chest, complain about what's happening. And then what?
Right.
And what's next? There is such value in getting your complaints off your chest, in sort of shedding that baggage and taking that mantle off. And then what? What comes next? You have to put that behind you at some point. And so it's funny. I'm like hearing this in her little British voice talking about this half British couple who, is very, very attached to, we did not ask for this. All we want is to show how bad it is because we are such victims.
And it does feel like, what is the takeaway for most of the world?
Right.
Like, are we canceling the royals? Like, probably not. Objectively, we're not going to. And honestly, like, while there was a lot that probably wasn't ever brought to light about like their racial tendencies and whatever, those are huge deals. I'm not trying to like make that a minor note.
Yeah.
Was anything a surprise? Like, probably not. It's kind of like when people were like very sad about Prince Philip dying. And I'm like, yeah, but he was also like kind of a Nazi sympathizer. So like, that's fine. That's fine too.
Yeah. And like 100. Oh, he's dead.
He was a crypt keeper. Yeah. So like also, okay. So it does feel like, what is landmark here? And maybe to your point, it's about the British media, but then like, are they not just opening themselves back up to that? Like, I don't know. I just have general questions. And it's like, I did feel like we needed to compete with her podcast by having this podcast with equally star-studded guests and topics. But I have not listened to it because I don't want to, but I do read like her recaps and it's like 17 revelations from her podcast. And it seems like it is very saturated in. And then this happened to me when I was a royal and it was really bad. And I don't know. I don't know. It's hard for me.
Yeah. It's hard. And going into it, being a fan of hers, who's kind of cooled off in her having left the day to day. I really liked hearing about the story of her childhood and like that she was like a smart nerdy kid and a theater kid and all this. And that also did not at all line up with her. Well, I just believed what I was told. Well, yes, I just trusted that this. It's like, well, so are you smart or are you not? And well, that was hard.
And I feel like that was also like her upbringing when they like were walking through where she grew up and stuff. Yeah. I'm like, it does seem like, were you very privileged or were you not? I can't like get a read on it. And it does feel like whatever is convenient to her. So I'll maybe keep watching. I maybe won't, but I don't know. Have you watched The Prince on HBO Max by Gary Jannetty?
No, I just saw. No, I feel like I saw enough of the clips that he would post on his Instagram, and I was like, okay, that's the show. I get it.
Yeah, it is. It is very funny, but it is funny after watching the show to then see royals in real life because you're like, oh, it is their cartoon character.
Oh, that is,
and like I can't like see, I can't like not see their satirical cartoon when I watch the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because they do like the whole bit about Meghan is like, I'm an accomplished actress from Suits, and it's like, okay, what are you reading right now?
Right now, I have joined, you know, the millions of people who have listened to audiobooks. It is December 2022. Mm-hmm. I'm listening to my very first audiobook ever.
I don't know why I feel like so deeply betrayed by that because I cannot do audiobooks. And I'm like very sad that you are. For no reason. Like good for you and sad for me.
And I'm hating it. I'm really hating it. Yes.
Okay.
It's like a Hallmark movie Christmas romance novel. So it's as low stakes as possible, but I really enjoy ingesting that kind of content at this time
like
of year.
Hallmark podcast.
Hallmark, right. And there's two main issues I'm having with this book. One, the narrator's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I would much prefer Meghan Markle of Suits reading it or anyone from Suits.
Or Meghan Markle of Deal or No Deal.
I would even take Deal or No Deal, Meghan, to narrate this. And the most deeply offensive part happened yesterday. I was driving somewhere, listening to it in the car. And when I tell you, I hollered at this. Oh my God. So the narrator's reading and talking about the main character who is something about like, oh, I could just go home and watch SVU on my couch. And wouldn't it be great to see that hot detective Stabler about now? Stabler? How dare you? How dare you? Detective Stabler?
Stabler. I wish, speaking of rebrands, sorry, SVU, for your 30 seasons, let's go back and make it Stabler.
I was horrified. I had to pause it and like stop at my next stoplight to be like, who is this alien monster who has not been on planet Earth, who has not turned on a television in what, 20 years this show has been on?
Yeah.
Detective Stabler. I was like, how freaking dare you? Can I continue this terrible book?
Did you?
I got busy, but I may. I mean, like, I don't know. It's so low stakes because it's, you know, it's like, we bought a Christmas tree farm. It's not going great. And it's like, okay, fine. They'll make out, but
yeah.
And wonderful. They'll live happily ever after. I'll get there, but maybe I won't. Because damn,
maybe
Detective
you won't.
Stabler.
That's hard to recover from,
it's
honestly.
Really, it's like so deeply offensive that I'm not sure how I can move forward.
I did try to start an audiobook. It was like during the deep COVID days when I was doing a lot of walking. And I felt like I had listened to every podcast that had been produced. And so I was like trying to do an audiobook. I've said this on the podcast before, but again, who still listens 3 years later, that it sounded like bad community theater to me.
Oh, yes.
Particularly the narrator tried to do voices for the characters, and like, I could not handle that.
Yeah.
I could not do that.
Yes. And a woman doing like
a man's voice.
I'm being Brent. Luca. Like, It's still you.
You just did it better. You did it better than the audiobook. So congratulations for your next career.
Thank you.
But it really was too much for me personally and my soul.
Yeah.
Frankly. So yeah. I did see on Instagram, because I, you know, self-servingly saw that you used two of my recommendations. Talk about the 12 books that you're doing next year. Is it next year?
Yes. So I just, in wasting time on the internet, I found this pretty little graphic called the 12 Challenge. And the template is by someone whose handle is Shadow Booker. Mm-hmm. And it says 12 months to read 12 books recommended by 12 friends. So there's 12 little boxes, and I filled in a bunch of titles. It's definitely not 12 different people who recommended. I would say there were probably like eight, maybe.
How many of my recommendations did you take? Two.
I got two from you. So obviously you're ahead of the game. But basically, I'm just trying to, I don't know, challenge myself to read books that I might not pick up on my own. And I think really the way that I get most of my book recommendations these days is Rachel Ware. Or you.
Friend of the pod, Rachel Ware.
Yeah.
Rachel Ware, yes.
Who is just so extensively well read. And then the podcast. And they have some really great recommendations. I've loved a lot of their green lights. And then some of them I'm like, nope, not for me. A gift I've given myself is like, I am a proud book quitter if I get to basically if it's like less than 300 pages, I'll probably give myself like 75 pages to get into it.
So that's a good mark. That's a good mark to give yourself. Yeah. My cat, we got a new cat also.
Hi.
Her name is Glinda, and she was just walking across.
Is she a good witch, or is she being a little
She's a very good witch. She's actually very great, but she does climb the Christmas tree a lot. But I have not quite gotten to that place where I can put a book down. And it's more like, I feel like the problem is me, because I'm like, surely if I just push forward, this will pay off. Yeah. But it just took me like 3 months, like absolutely no joke, 3 months to finish a book. Partially because I have been working a lot. And so I only read like at night before I go to bed or in the bathtub. And I would read like 8 pages at a time, which is no way to get into a book because then every time I'm like,
wait, what just happened?
But I saw somebody on Instagram say that the only way they will start a book is when they know they can commit 50 pages at a time, or 50 pages to the beginning of it.
Okay.
And I think that that's a very good mark too, because like I would start like 16 pages in and be like, okay, now I'm falling asleep and the Kindle hit the floor.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I have no momentum in this story.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, for me, it's like, I have a, I don't want to say like a habit tracker. That sounds way more intense than it is. But on my little weekly like to-do list planner, there's a section where it's like, here are things that you should be doing every day. It's like where I remember to take my medicine every day and try to get the boys outside to play. And I will, if I'm in like a reading mode, a reading season of life, I will just give myself 10 minutes. Like that's my minimum. It's like, I just need to read for 10 minutes. A lot of times if I'm at a point of the book where I'm like, oh, this is good. Or, oh, I'm curious. I'm going to keep wanting to pick it up.
Yeah.
Did you hear that loud sound that my computer just made? Okay. Thank goodness. It was very loud in my headphones. So it was like a chime of some sort. Anyways, I give myself a minimum of you have to read 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times too, then it's like, okay, then after the kids go to bed, it's like, do you want to watch a show? No, I'm just going to read on the couch, or I'll find time to read while something's cooking on the stove or things like that. But, but it really is like just giving myself the requirement of a little bit of time, which then once I'm into it, it will turn into a lot of time. The last book that I finished was kind of one of those where I was like, all right, let me just do it. And then I got really hooked and just kept wanting to read and read and read.
What was that?
It's called Wrong Place, Wrong Time by Gillian McAllister. It's a Reese book.
Okay.
Which
hers are so hit or miss for me.
Incredibly hit or miss.
I'm more miss. I honestly like try not yeah. to read her recommendations, which is really sad for me on a cellular level.
Because we all just, Reese, we're rooting for you, girl. But
we are.
I my wish for Reese Witherspoon in 2023 is to take a vacation. I would like her to just take a trip. I would like her to take a break.
I love that. Maybe we just need to make more wishes for celebrities who need to hear from us, who care very deeply about what we have to say.
That's probably the new mission of this pod. It's just
great point. Great point.
Reese, all of these production deals seem like a good idea at the time. Just go to Costa Rica for 3 weeks, please.
Yeah,
take some time in the jungle. But this book was really interesting, premise wise, and sort of denouement wrap up wise. It basically is a woman who sees her son murder someone and then wakes up the next day and it's the day before the murder. So it hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
And kind of the premise of the book is like kind of her as a parent and her like, could I have stopped this? Could I have seen this? And she keeps every day waking up earlier and earlier, like in the past. Like there's
so
one
she's like reverse waking
she's
up.
Reversing. Yeah. And so it's kind of this like time travel. Can I go back in time to the point when like all of this was set in motion? Can I change things? Can I impact things? Is this my fault because I'm an absent mother or a working mother, or I didn't take him seriously when he shared his injury? It was like very, very hard as a mother of an almost 18-year-old and then of small children to like, it really kind of messed with me in that way of like, oh my God, am I not taking my 3-year-old seriously? Is he really being serious? Is he going to go murder someone? He's not. I know he's not. He's the sweetest little muffin on earth, but it really kind of got in my head of like motherhood and looking back on motherhood, and like every single person, I will be the first one to raise my hand. I think every mother will look back and be like, okay, I did the best I could, but I could have done this, or could I have done something else? Or what if I had done something else? So there was a lot of that, but then it was also like a really interesting murder mystery. So I would recommend, but like, I thought it was going to be a lot more just like, ooh, who did it? Who will be this? And it was a lot more of like looking back in history and seeing how decisions have ripples. And so it was a lot more thought provoking than I anticipated. I thought it was going to be just like a juicy Reese murder mystery.
Okay. I'm going to put that on my list with caution because I feel as a parent, my anxiety most often stems from worrying about what might happen when they are teenagers.
And
part of that is, you know, we have suicide and addiction really heavily on our sides of the family.
Yeah.
And there are so many times that I'm like, everyone was this innocent at one point.
Yeah.
And everyone, for the most part, everyone had parents who loved them as deeply as I do, which I often believe that no one loves their kids as much as I love my kids. But I have to know, like, other people did. So where did it go wrong?
Where was because the there turn? Will be, right. Where was right, the fork
there will
in
be
the
times
road?
That I'm like, I hope, like, obviously I would never manifest this over them, but I'm like, if and when we face those challenges, I want to know that at 6 or at 4 I didn't damage them in this, but of course I will. We damage each other. That's just what happens. But I'm like, that book sounds so good, and will it also bring up like all the things that in my darkest moments I stew on anyway?
And it was the part for me where I was like, damn, Reese. Okay. I thought this was going to just be a whodunit. It really, that was the surprising part of the book for me. And I'm surprised. But I was also surprised at some of the like, oh, that's how they are connected. Oh, this is that person. So it was interesting to unravel and I'm glad I'm in therapy. So
that is very good. I was just looking at my Kindle app.
Yeah.
Again, it took me a very long time to read Apples Never Fall by Leon Moriarty, who I love.
Yeah.
That book had gotten a lot of mixed reviews, but I felt very committed to reading it. Okay. Have you read it?
I have not. I've read a lot of her others. And again, she's kind of hit or miss. She's one where I'm like, oh, that was good. Oh, this one's really good. Oh, this was fine. It really kind of depends on the book, but I do like her general approach.
Yeah. So this book was a complicated family story. I did really like it. It just took me a very long time to get through. And I couldn't decide if the problem was me or the pacing of the writing. Mm-hmm. But I did. I was glad that I read it. So would recommend. And then I have been deeply into a Camille Pagan whole. I've read like three or four of hers in a row. And I just really like her character development. Yeah. I feel like her dialogue. Okay, so one of my problems with Suits, conflating books and Suits.
Bring it back.
Is near the end, and maybe all throughout, but especially like the last few episodes or seasons, none of the dialogue sounds like dialogue you would actually have, right? It seems like very
written for the page.
100%. Where it's like, let's use every conversation to further the plot versus sounding like real people.
Right.
And I think books have that tendency also, but her characters are so wildly relatable in a way that is almost too relatable sometimes. Where it's like, this is not escapism for me.
Right,
it's like,
I am these people.
Right. I'm like, could you fictionalize this more?
Right.
But her dialogue is the same. Okay. So anything by her, and you have one on your list.
Yes. One of the ones you recommended. You recommended I'm fine and neither are you.
Yeah. And that one is really, really good. That was kind of my entree into her. So I have The Art of Forgetting and Everything Must Go that I have read recently. And one other one, I think, but I can't find it and I'm not going to look further. But I am also reading The Wife Between Us right now, that I don't know where it was recommended to me from, but I am like, I don't know, 100 pages in, and it gripped me from the start. I started reading it on the airplane yesterday. I did an up and back trip to DC and made myself read it on the way back. Very good. So it's like thrillery. So I would recommend.
Love it.
Okay. So let's talk about any other current events that are happening. One that I mentioned to you via text last night and then didn't answer your question. So I'm sorry about this. I wanted to remember a full story moment or a full circle moment that no one cares about. And I don't know why I'm mentioning this on the podcast, but it feels important to me.
You're the co-host. You can do that. Go ahead.
Thank you. You know, in U.S. news and world news, Brittany Griner, since our last podcast episode, was arrested, spent time in Russian prison, and has been released in a prisoner trade, which I would really like to know what that feels like. I don't want to know what it feels like to be, you know, locked up abroad, but I would like to know what it feels like for someone to decide who is worth you coming back for.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, would that make me feel good or bad about myself? I don't know.
Well, this guy is he's not good.
The doctor of death whatever he's called. Merchant of death.
And just this fascinating, a podcast that I have been loving since you so rudely abandoned this feed for so long. No, it's one put out by Vox Media called Today Explained. And they had an episode about him back in the summer, I think, just unrelated to Brittany Griner's release. But they sort of revived it when she got released and was traded for him. It is so fascinating. And just kind of like you were saying, like the implications, I feel like were I her and coming home, I'd obviously feel so relieved and grateful and all this. And then kind of do that, like looking in the mirror of like me for this. I don't know. I feel like that would be a weird process for her.
And in the scope of the world, I'm like, okay, is it because she's an athlete with a known name? Like, is that part of it? Because like, if I took a vaping pen of cannabis, which I wouldn't because I don't do that, but if I did, to Russia and got arrested and held there, am I as a regular person like worth an arms dealer of epic proportions? Right. I don't know. And is that crime worth it?
Right.
And where does that, like, it brings up a lot of questions, but I got distracted from the existential questions because I saw on people.com that Randy Fenoli of Say Yes to the Dress fame just got engaged, which is really exciting for him,
wonderful.
To his partner. But the reason that these two are the same thing to me is I became most familiar with Brittany Griner when she appeared on Say Yes to the Dress with her first wife. Have you watched this?
I watched the show forever, but I haven't, but I did not see Brittany Griner on it.
Okay. Well, Brittany Griner to me will live in infamy, not because of Russian prison, but so she appeared on the show, her first fiance. I don't actually know if they got married. Now I'm checking. Okay. So she got married to Glory Johnson, who was also a WNBA player. Then they got divorced like in a blaze of glory. I think there might have been some domestic abuse allegations. And then Glory Johnson like suddenly was pregnant with twins. It was very confusing of like how this happened, but they like had already gotten divorced before Say Yes to the Dress aired.
Oh, no.
And now Brittany Griner is married again.
Right.
Her wife did a lot of advocacy work to get her out of prison. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was like, what a gift to the world that suddenly Say Yes to the Dress and Brittany Griner were sharing headlines yet again. And that's the entirety of the thing that I had to say. And I don't know.
And I just felt like it needed to be shared. This Venn diagram, as you said, like the full circle moment, them both coming back. And it's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
To have, and then that I'm like, what is America? Yeah. What is news? What is news and what is America right there?
It's so funny because I had a similar moment this week in seeing something where it really jarred me of like, is it 2022 or is it 2006?
Was it the Katie Holmes fashion red carpet?
Of course
moment?
It was. Of course
yes,
it was.
Yes, it was. Okay, it describe was. The outfit to us.
It was tennis shoes, mm-hmm. baggy-ish, wide leg, at least flared at the bottom jeans.
Yep, relaxed and, fit flares, which is weird.
And a sweetheart neckline, satin, question mark, strapless dress. Tunic,
I think does match what that was. And I had first seen the picture and maybe, did you share it? Somebody shared it on Instagram and was like, is it 2003 again? And I saw it and was like, oh, look at Katie Holmes from 2003. And then Betches Media shared like,
that guy, he was so funny.
He was so funny talking about it. And I was like, oh my God, I saw that picture and did not realize it was from 2022.
Yes. It's just deeply shocking. And I love Katie Holmes very much mm-hmm. for honestly no reason. It's just one of those weird things that like, she just got a hook in me somehow. And
I agree. I feel the same.
You know, I feel like people have their celebrities or like their people that they're like, yeah, no, I'm all in for them all the time. Yes. And she's one. And I think part of the love now is watching what she wears and going,
it's like that Tyra gif. Like I think you even referenced it earlier. Like, we were all rooting for you. You could be a winner at all times.
Yes.
And yet here we are.
And she's so, which is not to say you need to be beautiful to have fashion sense, right, or that if you are beautiful that it's correlated, but like mm-hmm. she's like 5'10". Your body is built for some of the most
for this
exquisite
yes.
or even cutting edge or avant-garde, even mm-hmm. if you want to, even if you go for designs that are like different or whatever, but just, I mean, to sound like a Southern grandma, like these are plum ugly. They are just like, what are you wearing? And then I also can respect the game of like, I'm tired. I'm going to wear sneakers on the red carpet. I'm going to be sitting
with my carpenter jeans.
Right. I mean, I think I mentioned before, so I'm in a mom's club and we had our monthly mom's night out and it was a cookie exchange, which I'm just going to die on this hill. Nobody wants to do that. Can we just come and drink wine? I made two dozen cookies and I came home with two dozen cookies minus three.
And are you going to eat them or no? Are you going to just,
I already
away?
Gave some, that's what I yeah, do. I already gave some to my next door neighbors cause they're all stuck at home with COVID. And then I'll put some in the freezer because when you're mostly butter, you can freeze very well.
Sure.
Like,
can.
Dang.
Story of my life.
Right. It was just, I just need to die on this hill. We want to get together to celebrate the holidays. I do not need to bake or consume two dozen cookies. I don't need to do it. Can we stop doing this?
But I would like to know what kind of cookies you made. I am interested.
Oh God, I'm extra. So I made madeleines, which are technically a cake, but
speaking of do less, it's while you're doing it.
But I have a, so you need to have like the Madeleine pan. They're the ones for people that don't know. They're like the French cookies that kind of look like a shell.
It's a specialty pan. It's not in my kitchen. Thank you.
They're so easy because you basically just turn your stand mixer on to whip eggs and sugar for like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then you put in some flour and bake them. They're incredibly easy to make. And then I made it harder for myself because...
did you do a drizzle or some shit?
Oh, I dipped them in melted chocolate. Yeah.
God, Mary.
But because my mother, bless her, we got wires crossed around Thanksgiving. And she showed up to my house at Thanksgiving with a... It was like a 9-inch turkey made of chocolate.
What wires? I need to know the wires that were crossed to lead to that.
Yeah. I'll put a pin in that. It was showing up and being like, it's for your table. And I was like, the what is for my table? The chocolate turkey?
We all need the traditional chocolate turkey table.
Obviously. And not like the little ones that, you know, that you can get in a pack and you can put out with place cards. Like, no. This was a monster of a turkey. It was the size of a coffee pot. Chocolate
generally
turkey.
I'm like not super hip on like the sizes of chocolate poultry, so I didn't really know that there were small ones, but like, yeah. did you already have the small ones?
No, because that's not my design aesthetic.
Your aesthetic is not chocolate birds.
All to say, she brought this, and so I had it in my cabinet, and I just said to John at one point, I'm like, what the hell am I gonna do with this really fancy chocolate? The long story short is I melted it and I dipped the med lens in it.
Oh, good. Yes. So did you tell people that they were having like Thanksgiving season madeleines?
I did. Okay. I was like, these are our, now they really are holiday season cookies because they began with Thanksgiving and are now for all holidays in this season of life. So yeah.
Okay. Well, that is great. And what size manger made out of chocolate is she bringing to Christmas? Like, I do need to make sure that that has been handled.
I would really, really love to know. But if we're going with the theme, it's not going to be the whole manger. It will just be like a donkey.
Baby Jesus.
Some sort of livestock of sorts in chocolate form. I will keep you posted. We've got some time, but I will keep you posted.
Please do. I'm anything like edible nativity sounds just nice to me.
We'll just
see what happens. That's great. Well, okay, so I feel the same way just generally about doing less, and my toxic trait is I deeply want to be invited to everything and say yes to it and then frantically find a way out of it. So
that's not a toxic trait. That's like at this point, it's like, hello, I'm Mallory. It's nice to meet you. I would love to cancel. I would love to. Nice to meet you.
It's not a trait. It is the core of who I am. And so friend of the pod, Laura, who we became friends through the podcast, she and I also, well, we'd also met each other on Facebook because I buy all of her children's clothing and also don't do porch pickups for months at a time. So like I should have been kicked out of this group so long ago because there's a very strict rule about that. And I'm
just
like,
follow the rules.
I know. I'm like, I have more kids that will eventually wear this. So if I get it in 2 years, it's fine. Someone will fit into it. So we had met that way because when she introduced herself, I was like, oh my God, I was mortified because I immediately knew her name and her address because I'm like, oh, it's you who I'd never things like but now we've become friends, but only like, you know, in this age of friendship, like Instagram friends. We became texting friends. We have the same snark about the same influencers in town, which is a very like deeply intimate relationship to have with someone. And so she invited me to her favorite things party, which is tonight after our Peloton ride to celebrate your 700th ride. And I have no idea what the price limit or any general criteria for this favorite things are. I have to bring three of them. I've picked up none of them. I don't know. I thought about it a lot, but then I felt like if I bought things, I would be committed to going. It's in 8 hours. I'm trying to cancel, but I won't. It's like, I feel very paralyzed by this and I will end up walking in with like cash, kale, and Diet Dr. Pepper as my favorite thing. It's just a bundle. There will be nothing. And I'm like, I love this idea, but the execution leaves me so paralyzed that truly I'm like, here's an empty LaCroix can that your kids can make into a fairy house. Yeah. I don't know. That feels like a favorite. Amazing. But it's too late. It's too late for me now. What am I bringing to this party?
I mean, cash, kale, and Diet Dr. Pepper. You have a housewife's tagline now. This is immaculate. I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Sure. Wow. I mean, I always will like, I love something you can consume. Like, I absolutely
Me too.
Go.
Me too.
And, you know.
Well, I do have a freezer full of, right now, it's like 74 batches of cinnamon rolls. So I decided that I'm good at making cinnamon rolls now. And so made them for sale on Facebook and have 160 batches to make by Christmas, but I've run out of room in my freezer to do so. So it's all fine.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, I could do that, but then people on Facebook are like, are they gluten free? Are they vegan? Are they dairy free? And I'm like, no, they're full of everything that you don't, that you might avoid. But I'm like, is it now in this day and age also rude to bring something that could offend gluten freeze? Is it rude to assume everyone can have dairy? I don't know.
I don't know. It's hard because it's,
Cash, Kale, and Diet Dr. Pepper are all vegan, though. So that's nice. I don't
think anybody can be allergic. I mean, my mom always says about Cash, it's the right size and the right color. So,
oh, I love that for your mom.
It's great. I mean, I do it too. I got all our teacher gifts all lined up, and it's like, all right, going to the bank. We got to get those crisp greens and I'll tuck in some kale also, right? I don't know.
Speaking of green, well, that does remind me that Jane Ellis had her holiday performance at preschool on Monday, and it's a Christian preschool, so it was a Christmas performance. Yeah. I'll just call that what it is. Sure. It was an Advent program. Cool. Very sweet. She wore different shoes on different feet. It was all great. It was all normal. And I realized, like, oh, I need to bring the teacher's Christmas gifts now. So I grabbed a bottle of wine, which I always do, grabbed cinnamon rolls out of the freezer, per usual. Mm-hmm. Probably forgot to update my total number of cinnamon rolls and will be short some. It's fine. And then I ran into Publix to grab a card to go with these because I always get this one bottle of wine that has like a circus themed label on it. It's a really nice bottle. Nice bottle as in you can buy it at your grocery store for like $16 on. And sometimes it's on special for less, but that's a lot.
$16 is also like more dollars than my regular Tuesday night wine. So you're ahead of the game. You're fine.
Perfect. Yeah. And this one like was $2 off. So it was like $14.99 a bottle. It was all good. So I always do like a little card, like, thank you for loving our circus, blah, blah, blah. Very creative. And so I grabbed two beautiful cards, went up to check out, also grabbed like a Prime gift card. Those cards, guess how much the two greeting cards that I grabbed cost me?
Each?
Yeah.
$8.
$13 each, but I was too far gone and running late. So I'm like, I spent an additional $25 on this.
$15 on cards?
Each. And I'm like, unless like there are live silkworms still on here, like doing the work. What was I going to do? Return the cards? And I was running late. I panicked and I'm like, these will end up in the trash. This is my dollars going into the trash can.
Oh my gosh.
Because I didn't even write like a beautiful letter. No, I didn't even write a beautiful letter.
Love Aries. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Exactly. And so that's, I mean, like sorry paper products.
Dollars, $13.
Yeah, that could have been my favorite thing. That's what I'll do. I'll just bring empty, beautiful cards to me, to the favorite thing, but nothing inside and not even sign them so someone else can use them.
Oh my God, that's funny. That's really
funny. The other problem with this party is I don't know anyone else who's going. Okay. So I don't know if they will think that is funny. I will.
And isn't that all that matters?
Yeah. Well, I guess if I offend them so much or seem so weird, I'll never get invited again, which will hurt my feelings, but feel like a relief.
Yeah. And it's also 12 full months from now. So hopefully by then, you'll have new friends. Yeah. If you're like, oh, they don't like me because I brought empty cards and empty cans and of LaCroix.
One bunch of kale.
Yeah. And a bunch of kale.
One bunch to like split among everyone.
Amazing.
When you listen to this tomorrow, I'm sorry that I feel this way about your party. It'll be lovely.
Laura, she is going to have an amazing time. She will be belle of the ball. All of the very...
Because I'll be hopping right off the Peloton.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, that's just my be fault. Fine. That's my fault.
It's not your fault. I'm excited. I would never miss it. But I will be like kind of musty.
Yeah.
And I do have a new perfume that I love very much, but no one has ever complimented me on it. And so I'm like, maybe I'll just spray it more and see if anyone like makes a comment.
Okay. I like that plan. I think maybe if you want, go get some dry shampoo and bring that as your favorite thing.
Oh, that's good. Right? That's good.
As you can be like, look, it's in my hair right now.
I get three toiletries that I like and also use. Yeah. Use them on the way there and then give them away.
Perfect.
Okay. I'll report back. Yeah. All right. Well, is there anything else that feels like highly topical that sounded like a good idea? I mean, where do we want to end this before our next episode?
I'm not sure, except I do just want to like toot my own horn. I'm doing my 700th ride tonight. You and I in your pod hiatus, and now I'm now gonna say hour because I'm like investigative. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Hiatus of this pod, you and I have mm-hmm. been in constant contact about many things. Mm-hmm. Peloton is one, and it's a thing that we sort of developed that when you, so for non-crazy Peloton people like we are, when you hit 100 rides, it's called a century. So any of your mm-hmm. like consecutive hundreds are just that we call them century rides. So Caroline and I will always ride our centuries together. You had your 600th mm-hmm. in the last week or so.
Yeah.
And my 700 is tonight. And it's just really fun. And it's, we for the most part have only ridden with Kendall. I guess except for your Celine century, Celine, which is Leanne. Yeah. But that was Celine.
We made a century with Celine. I know, sometimes I think back on it. I'm like, would I have done that again? But it really was such a fun one.
It was for that first century. It really was fun.
And then this week, or my 600th, we also skewed and did Camila.
Yes.
Light of joy.
Truly has been a true joy in our lives, who has come to us. Like, we came to her late in the game, and it's one of those mm-hmm. where it's like, what have we been missing? And now maybe we're just trying to make up for it. Yeah, that would be wonderful. I know,
that would be really great.
We need to like just start thinking through we manifested that I'm now on it. So now we need to start mm-hmm. thinking through, like, who will we invite? So all to say, I'm tooting my horn. I'm excited. It's fun doing this with you, the riding. Yeah. It's fun doing the other check-ins on life. It's really fun that we're doing this.
I love it. I'm very excited and I'm very grateful for you. I'm grateful that we kind of bore this friendship like out of the threads of almost nothing, but it has become to me like very meaningful and rich, and not just because of Peloton, but because of like all of it.
Yeah.
So thanks for being here. I'm excited about what's to come.
Yeah, I am also. And I'm just excited. And I'm glad you asked me. And let's do this.
Let's do this. And also one other quick recommendation that I don't know why I feel like I need to get it in here, but I'll forget and be mad at myself. If you are also looking for another podcast to listen to, may I suggest I'm Not a Monster? If you haven't listened to it, Mallory, I think you would love it.
Okay.
It is the story of a woman from maybe Indiana or somewhere Midwest-ish who marries a man of Muslim faith, and then they join ISIS. And it's like, did she get duped into it? Was she an ISIS supporter? Their children are involved in ISIS.
Wow.
Her sister is committed to rescuing them. It's a real story from just like a couple of years ago that somehow I missed. I devoured it. I listened to it so quickly. The journalist, it's from BBC, and the journalist is lovely. So whoever's listening to this, listen to that before our next episode. We haven't determined quite the cadence, though we do have our next recording date set. So we'll just figure it out. Just hang tight with us and we'll just see what happens.
I love it.
All right.
I will do that. And thank you for listening, everybody. And
I don't know how subscriptions work on podcasts anymore, but if you want to leave a review, that would be great for us. I hear it's good for findability, but you can also follow us on Instagram. We are at A Good Idea Pod. I reactivated the account last night, so we're there. You can also email us at agoodideapod@gmail.com, and we will see you for our next episode.
The face you made freezing going, is that our Gmail address? I'm about to say out loud.
Just try it and see what happens. Maybe someone will reply.
Good luck.
All right. Thanks, everyone.